You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers. I am Chris Manning from ForTheSword.com here for Tuesday, July 31st. We're getting into the dead of NBA summer. We're going to be down to three episodes a week, as long as everyday listeners know. If you aren't already, you can subscribe to Locked On Cavaliers on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you want to support the show, a five-star review is the best way to do so. And if you submit your mailbag questions on Twitter to @LockedOnCavs or to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com, that'll be the best way to support the show. Today's show is going to be about someone who doesn't play for the Cavs anymore, but it's still very much, I think, on everybody's mind. That, of course, is one LeBron James. And joining me to talk about LeBron and what he had to say on Monday in Akron is Ashley Bastock, one of the writers and editors over at For the Sword. You can also find at the Associated Press and any of Sports Insiders. Ashley, what's going on?
Oh, you know, not much. Just, I guess, your typical LeBron summer we're back to now. Thought we were done with these.
Yeah. It's interesting because we're gonna finish with the thing I think is the most unpleasant part of this, which is the sort of some of the reaction to LeBron. But he had two things that he said Monday that, and I'm gonna let you pick what you want to talk about first. There is the LeBron James bittersweet comment, and then what he talked about with it, what he talked about in terms of his future. Actually, what do you want to start with?
We can start with his future. Why not look ahead, I guess?
Yeah, and I think this is the one that I think is a little bit... I think this is actually the more interesting comment. So LeBron, talking to Tom Withers of the Associated Press, said that he does not close the chapter or the book on anything. And here's the full quote. Quote, "Listen, I don't close the chapter on anything or close the book on anything." And this is when he was asked if he would return to Cleveland to end his career. But hopefully I can sit there one day and watch my jersey go up in the rafters, that's for sure. Now, LeBron also said that he didn't know that Dan Gilbert had said that he was going to retire his jersey and that that is going to happen. I think it's obviously would not happen until LeBron retires, but it'll happen. I think the year after he retires, that jersey is going up in the rafters, maybe in a Kobe-like situation where it could happen. But I'll say this. I understand there is some reaction already out there that people would not want LeBron back. For me, as someone covering the team, there is something interesting about covering a non-LeBron Cavs. And I think for the Cavs, they have to build without any assumption LeBron is coming back. As Jason Lloyd has reported, as Windhorst has reported, as so many great people have reported, the Cavs spent a lot of time after LeBron left thinking of ways to get him back. Using the when he was in town for his jersey retirement ceremony as a way to lure him. That was something that was on their mind. I think when you look ahead with LeBron being at the youngest, heading into his age 36, 37 season when he could come back again, trying to woo him back for that and to try to compete with him again at that point seems unrealistic. LeBron bumps trends, obviously. He obviously pushes a lot of things forward, but to me, that just seems foolhardy, and I think it would be cool to see him come back, but I think when you're thinking about him coming back again, it should not be, okay, we're going to have this young core develop, and then he's going to help take that to the title. It really would be, I think, a retirement tour to some degree if he comes back in 4 years or whatnot.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of like what we have up on Fear the Sword, if he does come back, the earliest he could come back is in free agency. Would be with that player option in the fourth year of his contract. He would be 36 going on 37 at the youngest. There, if he stays all 4 years in LA, he'd be 37 looking at his 38th birthday for the upcoming season. So, yeah, LeBron continues to defy father time and, you know, any kind of logic in regards to aging. But really, 4 years from now, I highly doubt he's going to be in the same position that he was when he came back to Cleveland, you know, wanting to be the end-all, be-all of a franchise. So, yeah, I definitely agree with what you said. If he does end up coming back to the Cavs, it probably would be more like a retirement tour, like we saw Kobe Bryant kind of go through in his final year in LA. So that is kind of obviously a very different place for the Cavs and where they need to be than they needed to be in 2014 and all the prep that went into 2014. They can't have the same mindset this time around. And, you know, of course, there's no guarantee that this is going to happen. We could look at this, you know, LeBron coming back to the Cavs on like a one-day contract type of thing. That might be the next time he comes back to the Cavs. So really in no meaningful way as far as playing games. But yeah, I think the only thing that the Cavs can control in the future is when they retire his jersey. That's all that they can bet on, is that one day that jersey is going to be hanging in the rafters of the Q.
Yeah, and I'll add two things to this. Number one, if you want to look at how LeBron relates to the Cavs and compare to other stars, what he has is very different than what, say, the Mavs have with Dirk, right? Like, it is not the same type of thing. It is a situation where LeBron is someone that is obviously connected to the organization, but he's not a 21-year, two-decade player, and he doesn't have a close relationship with the owner. Number two, it would not shock me if LeBron in, say, 4 years or 5 years says, I'm just going to retire, and he's still with the Lakers then. Or his son comes to the NBA, and then he goes plays in with his son for a year, wherever his son goes when he's 39 years old or something like that. Now, that is, of course, you know, guessing how good Bronny would be and all these different things we just don't know. But that would not surprise me either. And he obviously has every right to do that. He has every thing he wants to do. He should be able to go and do that. And I would find it really fascinating, though, if he does come back, what that would look like. It's too early to say, but I think the biggest thing here is the Cavs and you're right, the Cavs have to control what they want to control. And to their credit, I think they are saying the right things after this. I think that they seem to have a better plan in place, and they don't want to be with like they were last time. But that, of course, is easier said than done, and we're not having played any game shit. Now, the other thing of this is that LeBron did tell ESPN's Rachel Nichols in the big interview he did on Monday it's kind of bittersweet. It's a kind of bittersweet moment right now. He's sitting here. He said, sitting here in my school, and I'm opening around these kids in this community, and at the same time, making the switch to the other coast, being a part of the Lakers now. He also said, quote, it's always a tough decision when you leave home or you leave an organization that you've been with for multiple years. It was tough to leave the first time. When I left Miami, leaving Cleveland once again, definitely tough. But, you know, it's a decision that was best for me and my family. I think both sides feel great and appreciative of the moments and the time that we spent together. Actually, that to me, I'll give the floor to you here, but a very diplomatic, business-like, non-emotional quote there from LeBron, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you and I talked about this off mic. There was, you know, more so a mention of his school and of Akron than a mention of his former teammates or the Cavs. And, you know, it's given the occasion, like, that's probably fair for him to take that route. The focus of the day was the I Promise school opening. But yeah, I mean, it's about as diplomatic an answer as you're going to get from LeBron. And, you know, he didn't dodge the question exactly, but like you said, it's a diplomatic answer to give and definitely not over emotional, which I don't think we've rarely seen LeBron get over emotional in sit down interviews like this. So that part of it also isn't that surprising to me. But overall, you know, definitely I can see how it is bittersweet with him being at the school opening. But the other thing that really struck me about the interview as a whole is he just seems very much at peace with this decision. And, you know, the next question that Rachel Nichols asked him was, is like the fact that he was able to announce his decision so quickly kind of indicative of him being at peace. And he agreed with her and said, you know, I felt like I didn't need to have the dramatics of a drawn out conclusion, to use his words. And I think you definitely see that throughout his interview. He doesn't feel like he has to really justify it. And, you know, it kind of goes along with what he said after the 2017 finals, I believe, of not, you know, feeling like he needs to prove anything anymore. And I think that kind of really is prominent throughout this entire 20-minute long interview.
The part of this that I think is most fascinating is I do think there is something there where I can understand why some people look at him a little funny. And I say this as like, there, if you go and read like the Fear the Sword Twitter mentions and whatnot, or some of the comments, there is a somewhat level of apathy with LeBron right now. There like doesn't want him back, does not want to really engage with what he is right now. And I get that. People, there's even one person saying, you know, go away, LeBron, move on. I get some of the frustration there because there, this is a guy that did say he wasn't going to leave again, that did say this is Cleveland, this is for you, like this big emotional thing. And that was really, really great in the moment. But here is what I tweeted about this, and it's peak summer, basically, that's where we're at this point. I also have a very hard time wrapping my mind around that, because if you think about what LeBron delivered,
right,
what LeBron was able to do in the moment he created in Cleveland, there's nothing that will ever really top that. And maybe a Browns, you know, maybe a Browns Super Bowl would be a bigger parade. Maybe even a Cleveland baseball parade would be a bigger deal if the Indians can be that good this fall. And I think the Cavs are going to be fighting for their own sense of relevancy, and how they do that in the next few years will be really, really interesting. But it's very odd to me that LeBron James, and considering he won the title in 16, considering he made, I think, really was the reason they were competing still in the finals the last couple of years and still had a chance, even though the Warriors were this Goliath. It's very weird to me that there seems to be some level of resentment to LeBron and some picking at him. And yes, like, is there some PR-ness in what he's saying? Yes. But he's also, I think, someone that does care about the area. And it's also worth noting that he's Akron and not Cleveland. And yes, like, Cleveland is the closest franchise. It is a city that I think he, in the area, he has embraced. But this is an Akron school. This is not a in Cleveland thing. It's not like he was born in Cleveland. He is from Akron, and those are two different cities. People may not always remember that, but those are two different cities. Even they're 45 minutes apart, but they're two different places, and LeBron is distinctly from one and not the other.
Well, and then also for me, there's very much like a journalistic element to all of this. LeBron is hands down the greatest player in the Cavs franchise. While he is still playing, anytime that he talks about Cleveland, anytime that he comes to Cleveland, that's going to be the main story. So, yeah, naturally.
The day the Lakers come back will be the most, like, I don't, unless Kevin Love has like a crazy game, unless like they're much better than we expect or something. I'm just warning people now.
Yeah.
The day LeBron and the Lakers come to Cleveland will be the biggest game on the Cavs' schedule next year. That is a fact and an unavoidable fact. That's like a weird reality. And it's still about LeBron then. And I get why that annoys people. And I can understand like the organization will want to move on too, but there's just no avoiding that. LeBron is the defining player in the franchise's history. The day he comes back, the one time he will play in Cleveland next year, is going to be a mammoth event, and we are going to spend a crap load of time talking and thinking about it. That's just the reality of it.
People need to get used to that idea now, because that's the world we're living in. And granted, yes, things are much different now than in 2010 when he left the first time. I stand by that. I also recognize the level of LeBron fatigue going around, but just because, you know, there are people out there who have decided they no longer are fans of LeBron James, and that's their decision to make. We're obviously not here to change minds in that regard. But just because you don't like a certain player doesn't mean that it's not news. Like, that's just not the reality of the situation we live in now. Anytime, as you know, we said at the top of this segment, anytime he brings up Cleveland, the Cavs, Akron, any of that, it is newsworthy, especially during the summer when he has yet to play a game in a Lakers jersey. And with the fact that it's the first time he's talked about leaving Cleveland. Yeah, I get the LeBron fatigue. I also, you know, totally am 100% behind the fact that this is news that does have some value as far as covering the Cavs go. And like you said, we live in a very different world now than we've lived in for the past 4 years. The biggest news surrounding this team is no longer the playoffs. It is no longer Golden State. It is no longer the finals. It is when the Lakers and the Cavs play each other. And especially that first game when it happens, whenever that is, as you said, it's going to be the number one game marked on the schedule. And especially that game when he returns to Cleveland. So yeah, like, you know, you kind of see both sides of it, with also the understanding that given everything he did for the franchise in 11 years, there is still always going to be a certain level of media attention that is bound to follow him.
We'll wrap it up on this, Ashley. It's obviously, I think that the Cavs, I think, and what they've said about it, and I think their comments actually, in a weird way, they mirror each other in a lot of ways. What they've said about LeBron and thanking him, and Dan thanking him, and everything like that, they've sort of played it the same way, very businesslike, very PR-y, very crafted. And to their, I think that's probably the smart play, considering Dan's statement the first time was a very emotional thing that deservedly gave him deserved a lot of crap for that letter. But when you think about like what you moving forward, it is on the Cavs. I'm not wrong, I don't think, in saying that it's on the Cavs to prove that they can like exist without LeBron, right? Like, I think we're looking at a 15-year span where they've been so defined by one guy, whether he's with him or without him. I think this season, in the next couple of years, when LeBron is in LA and whatever happens there happens there, there will be comparisons, although I would not really take a lot of stock in them or value them very much. I really think that the next defining thing of the Cavs, and whether it means LeBron comes back in 3 years, whether he never puts on a Cavs jersey again and doesn't have a big moment in Cleveland until his jersey is retired or whatever, I think this next bit is on the Cavs proving that they can exist without LeBron. Is that a fair reading of where we're at with the Cavs and LeBron's relationship?
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about at the top of this podcast, that there's no guarantee this time that there's a chance that he could come back, and that without him, we need to do as much as possible to move heaven and earth to make it possible for him to come back. This is the first time since, you know, LeBron was in high school that this franchise can kind of look and reassess. And, you know, as we've heard so much from Kobe Altman and the organization this summer, try to get into the player development business, see what you can build. This is the one chance you're going to have to do it. And, you know, as you said, there is covering a non-LeBron team and a non-LeBron Cavs in particular is going to be really interesting, if only to see if they can pull it off, and if they can't, why it's failing. And it's going to be a very different environment for us, going to be a very different environment for the fans, for the players. It's just, I think it's a totally different environment than we saw here from 2011 through, you know, early 2014. And, you know, it's 100% up to the Cavs to see what they can end up making out of this ultimately.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating story to watch now and moving forward. But Ashley, we will, is there anything else right now with the Cavs otherwise that stands out to you? Because for me, when I think about where we are at right now, it is just a very dead period. We are at an interesting point in the summer where we're basically just waiting on things. And like, it's tough, and I get that it can be very annoying for people that are like looking for Cavsy things to think about right now. But I think basically where we are is there's just nothing. It's for us to really think or talk about in detail right now.
Yeah, I mean, no, and I don't know if there necessarily will be. I mean, the only real big piece of news left surrounding this team is what they do with Rodney Hood. Like, that's the one thing we're really waiting on, that we know, okay, there has to be a decision made on this one way or the other. But there's a chance that we don't get any big news besides whatever they decide to do with Rodney Hood until media day. So that fact is pretty bleak to think about. And I definitely miss the NBA.
Yeah, and don't forget Okoro White's $750,000 contract guarantee for next week from today. That's the big one. That's the big one. It's a huge pivotal thing for the Cavs this summer is what they do with Okoro White. Yeah. But all joking aside, Ashley, thank you so much for coming on. You can find Ashley on Twitter at AshleyBastock42. Read her writing at the Associated Press, Fear the Sword, and NEO Sports Insider's Ashley. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Listeners, you can find, again, Locked On Cavaliers on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Mailbag questions to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com and at LockedOnCavs. We'll be back on Thursday with the mailbag episode, so get your questions in. Last chance for this round. Talk to you soon. Cheers.